A British judge on Monday ruled that the case of a severely disabled man who wants to be euthanized by a doctor should be allowed to proceed. The Ministry of Justice argued that granting the man's request would require changing the law on murder and that such changes must be made by Parliament. The man, who is not terminally ill, is arguing euthanasia should be legal based upon the European Convention of Human Rights. Dr. David Albert Jones is the director of the Anscombe Bioethics Center, which is a Catholic academic institute. He told Charles Collins that so far, the argument against euthanasia is being won in the law, but is being lost in the media.
Well, currently the law in Britain is quite clear that euthanasia is unlawful killing. Even if it's done for good motive, there's no justification in law, and that assisting suicide is also a crime. And there have been various attempts to change the law by court cases, and all of them have failed. That the judges so far have always lined up to say, well, even if we're sympathetic, that's not a decision for the courts to take, that's a decision for Parliament to take. And Parliament's had three goes at it, two goes in the House of Lords in Westminster, one go in Scotland, and Parliament has so far always rejected it. So I'm a little mystified myself about why they've allowed to take yet another case, which on the surface of it seems very similar to other cases. But the trouble with court cases is that it always depends on the details. And so even if you think you're risk-free, you're never risk-free until the court case is settled. So we may be in for an unpleasant surprise. But so far, euthanasia is illegal in this country, and that's the way the law stands, and that's the way Parliament has backed the law.
There seems to be an effort to use European law to try to get around British law. Is there any chance of that succeeding?
Well, so far there has been limited success from the pro-euthanasia side. They had a case which they took to Europe, which they lost, Diane Pretty, of a woman who wanted her husband to be allowed to kill her. And then they had a second case, which they won, which was not a case about allowing a husband to commit commit assisted suicide, but about getting the prosecutor, the chief prosecutor in England, to say what kinds of cases he prosecutes and what kinds of cases he doesn't, because he has discretion about it. So he was forced, rather against his wishes, to be a bit more explicit about the kind of cases that he is likely to prosecute. But this was very much soft guidance, and the result of those in the end was quite good for the anti-euthanasia lobby. In the end, he was quite conservative about what he said he would do. So there have been attempts all the time to use Europe, but so far they haven't been successful.
What is being done to help people to understand exactly why euthanasia is wrong?
I think that there is a very, whereas in Parliament and in the law courts so far, the case against euthanasia has been quite strong, and among doctors, particularly palliative care doctors, the case against euthanasia is quite strong. I think within the media, there's a huge amount of sympathy for the case for euthanasia on a sort of autonomy, people should be allowed to decide for themselves what they think kind of view. The case for the other side it tends to be made particularly by doctors and by some people within the disability rights movement. And if we haven't got euthanasia so far in this country, it's largely, I would say, because we have a very active disability rights movement, which is very concerned about euthanasia. And they do make the case, but they don't have as much airtime, they don't have as much sympathy with the media as the lobby in favor of euthanasia. And the pro-euthanasia lobby, though it's quite small, is very well organized, it's quite well funded, and it has a great deal of sympathy in the media. So unfortunately, it's a case of the arguments may, the weight of the real weight of the arguments might be on one side, but the arguments that people hear tend to be arguments only from the other side.
As a final question, you mentioned that the strong cases are being made by doctors, especially in palliative care, and also the people who are in the disabled rights movement. Now, some people might go, why would they care? Wouldn't they want to have that option? Why are they so concerned?
Well, for example, when they were thinking of revising the law on assisted suicide, at one point they said, well, assisted suicide should be acceptable if somebody was disabled. But if you have somebody who, say they have a physical disability, they're dependent, they're maybe wheelchair bound, and they're told, well, if you were healthy and you tried to commit suicide, then somebody who helped you would be committing an offence. But obviously, if you're in a wheelchair, it's quite understandable. I mean, it just makes public a lesser level of protection for certain people because their lives are thought not valuable, and people are surprised when they value their own lives. Why do you value your life if you're disabled? Surely you would be wanting to commit suicide, wouldn't you? So actually, the people who are most clear that life can be worthwhile even with disability are coming from the disability movement. And that voice so far has been one which has persuaded Parliament in particular that a change in favour of euthanasia would not only make people vulnerable, but it also would devalue their lives, that their lives would publicly not be worth as much as a healthy person's life. And that's not something the law should ever say.